I also want to greet each one in the name of Jesus. I'd say it's a privilege to be here, to look out over a lot of faces that are familiar, most of you at least. And I guess it, in me, when I think of this church here, I think of a time of maturing. You know, from the time we lived here, to me, it was good. It was just good for me to be here. I consider this church a good place to grow, to develop strength. I think of this church in relation to our missions and how often and how much personnel has been supplied to the different missions throughout the years, the influence this church has had on other churches within our fellowship, and I have an appreciation for that. So coming here is definitely a privilege. Well, I want to welcome you to look into the Word of God, invite you to look into the Word of God with me and see if there's something more we can gain. I appreciate very much what we have heard so far. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, this is Paul speaking to Christians, and I think that we could very well place ourselves in the congregation of people that needed to hear this kind of these kind of words. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 through verse 3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. All right. I've entitled the message, Are We the Strong? We heard about maturity. This morning, we discussed some things in our Sunday school class, and in the Sunday school devotional, it was mentioned about maturity and growing to be more like the Lord. And Paul, in writing this letter, perhaps uses a terminology that will help us to relate better. He says, we that are strong. Now, if I would ask you, a raise of hands, and I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to lie or make up stuff. Do you consider yourself a strong Christian? You know, how many of you consider yourself, you know, I'm among the strong Christian. I'm not the weak people who are easily pushed around. I'm a strong Christian. Is that you? How many would admit that you are the weak Christians? You just have a terrible time existing, and it's you go from one trial to the next, and it's just all you can do to hang on to your faith. Is that you? Paul mentions, and we'll touch on that a little later, but there's a few things I want to just think about beforehand. Maybe, first of all, I worked at a place where we bagged and loaded an organic fertilizer, a soil conditioner, actually. And because the trucking company never knew if we're going to send it bulk or bag, they always sent dump trailers, which means that we have to handle every bag, take it off, and set it on the truck, which is 24 So we're loading 24 tons, more or less, on each truck. And we had to handle it all by hand. And so of course, we had different people working for us. So it's usually just a couple of us. Normally, our crew was three. Sometimes it was just two. But it was interesting to see how different people work and how they hold up. And we had some that, these are just guys of a lot of brawn. I mean, they can grab 3 and 4 bags at once and haul it to the other end. Would you consider that a strong person? And we tried it already, to grab 2 at once, you know, try to make more time. Is that a strong person? Because the person who grabbed 4 could only do it maybe once, and then, you know, that's a lot of weight. That's 200 pounds. It's very difficult to hang on to 200 pounds in a bag, in bags. But it can be done. But we had others who, they could grab 2 and they could keep that up for a while, but then that was too much. We had others who just took 1 at a time, and sometimes they gave out halfway into the load. But what did we really want to see? What was the most productive person that we could have there? Wasn't it those who were just satisfied with 1? Take that 1 bag, get it there, get another, and get it, and keep on and get the thing done. That was what we really wanted to see. Somebody who would stick with it. We're not interested so much in how much you can carry, because that's not always the full picture of a profitable worker, of a person who we'd consider strong. Well, Paul asked some questions later on, but I'd like to think of these points. Which of these people would you think strong? Now, he's talking about issues. What about those who can partake of questionable things? Some of you say, well, I couldn't conscientiously do that. And this person says, it's no big deal to me. He can partake of questionable things. His conscience doesn't bother him. Is that a strong person? What about the person who, there's a lot of things that their conscience limits them, they just can't do it. They'd like to because they see others doing it, but their conscience smites them and they say, I just can't do it. Is that a strong person or is that the weak one? What about those who are very troubled by worldly trends, anything they think to be worldly and it just bothers them to the point where they feel alone in their convictions because people, as a rule, don't always appreciate them speaking up. And they feel very much alone in their convictions. Is that a strong person? But what about the person who, on the other hand, he can violate church regulations. Oh, he doesn't do it in a big way, but, you know, push the line a little bit. And after all, you know, this doesn't really matter. And they're very happy people. And it doesn't bother them. Is that a strong person? He might even say, well, others are doing it, so big deal. Which of these people are strong and which are weak? And I just tell you now, I don't have that answer. Because I believe it comes down to more than just these issues, and we want to look at that just a little bit more. The mark of true strength, I believe, is those who basically can carry the most weight. If we had weights up here and we're trying to see which young men, I don't suppose the sisters would participate much in this, but they do sometimes, but young men like to see, you know, how much weight we can lift or press. And it's impressive what some people can do. And that is somewhat a mark of strength, as far as physical strength. And there is it's a way of measuring. You can lift so much, this person can lift 200, this person, when I was in Bible school, people used to see how much, who could lift the most, and of course I was definitely not in the top category there. But I was very impressed by some of my friends who could, well, they'd get 200 pounds, just push that thing right in the air, and it was, do it several times and set it back down again. We had others who attempted it, and they were so determined to do it, they're going to be that strong person, and they just about fall over, and people had to grab the weight and because it was about to get them down. But they were determined to do it. We all want to be considered the strong. We want to be considered those who are the stable. We want to be considered those who are the faithful and those whose faith is strong, and we don't let things get us down. Romans 14 now, I want to go back here and touch on a few things. Romans 14, verse 1 through 3. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth he may eat all things, to another who is weak, or another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him which eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Okay, and then he goes on, talks about judging. One thing we notice here, he's saying that the strong tend to judge the weak. So, and there again, we're talking about what seems to be strong. And Paul is addressing those who seem to have no problem with their faith, that not everything goes for them. They just make it work. They're strong. But they tend to judge those who are weak. And the weak tend to, the strong tend to despise the weak, and the weak tend to judge the strong. So the weak person, who in this case he's referring to those that do not eat or do not partake of a certain thing, this weak person says, that strong person's not a Christian. You cannot be a Christian and do that. It don't work. My conscience does not allow me to do that. And so I know that if you do it, I know where you stand, because God has spoken to me and it's clear, and I know that you're outside of the fold. And the strong person says, those people just need to get over it. You know, who are they to say that all this is wrong when really there's no big deal? They just simply need to get over it. Well, who is actually the strong and the weak? Well, Paul doesn't necessarily completely outline exactly where that position is. But he does say this. There's this tendency, a natural tendency for the weak to do things and the strong to do things that are not right. They are simply wrong. It is wrong for a person who considers himself strong and able to partake and despise those who say, I can't do it. My conscience does not allow me to do it. Paul says that's wrong. So, supposing he is strong, but he's in the wrong, what good is that? But the person who does not partake might say, I am so strong that I am able to give up all these things. And here's classified as weak. But he's judging, and that's also wrong. It's simply wrong. It's wrong to judge. Who is he to judge another man's servant? This is God's servant. Who is he to judge that? In verse 6, he talks about, he that regardeth the day regardeth it to the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. He that eateth, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Paul is saying the focus needs to be, what are you doing for God? Limiting things in your life and just simply cutting out things for the Lord might make you feel better in and of yourself. But that may not necessarily be done for the Lord. You may be doing it just simply for yourself so that you appear better before others. But if you truly do it for the Lord, God can accept that. The same is true with the man who, a person who doesn't get upset by each little issue and he just simply lives his life and accepts this and that. He uses this thing and that thing and does a certain thing, but his heart is to the Lord. He gives that to God. In doing that, God accepts that too. Now, not wrong things. There are things that are sin, and we're not talking about those. We're talking about things that are neither right nor wrong. And sometimes we forget what truly right and wrong is. You might find someone who claims to be a Christian, but he drives a red car. Now, we know that people cannot drive red cars and go to heaven because our church standard says clearly no red cars. And so we get upset by this. And we may not realize that God has accepted that man. That red car doesn't mean a thing to him. It was just what was cheapest at the moment, or it's a thing to him. And God calls us not to judge. But as we look at issues, a lot of it comes down to what we are truly giving to God. You know, is it right to take of a certain thing? You know, some churches allow this and some don't. Some allow even more and some allow even more. And we say, well, if it goes too far, that's liberal. We know that's liberal, but these over here are ultra conservative. I like to put that ultra on there because that definitely puts them in their camp. You know, we're conservative. They are ultra conservative, a little bit like my brake rotors I buy for cars. I like to use quality parts, so I buy premium brake rotors, which are the cheapest thing to handle. If you want the good ones, you buy the ultra premium. So, in that way, we tend to judge based on our own words sometimes, and instead of the real heart of the issue. But you know, if we're going to take of something and we're doing it only for ourselves, if this thing is a distraction between us and God, it's wrong. On the other hand, another person might have it, and to them it's just a tool, and it's a useful tool, and they use it well. We're living in an age of technology when we can have any amount of things, and I don't know what you would have thought if I would have just simply brought my laptop up here and left my book at home. You'd think, well, I'm not conservative because I don't have a book. Well, to me, I wouldn't be comfortable doing that, so that's why I'm still happy reading a printed page. Okay, dealing with issues. So which are good and which are bad? Go back to on over again to chapter 15, and let's read that again. It says, "We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Now, according to verse 1, who are the strong? We said the strong are able to lift the biggest burdens. They're able to carry the most weight. They're able to produce the most, faith, you'd say. Who are actually strong? He says those that are able to bear the burden. What burden are they bearing? The infirmities of the weak. And I believe that in true strength, you know, it's interesting that Paul does not discuss the issues, because issues can raise a lot of arguments. But there's one thing that is important, and that is our relationship with other people. We might claim to have ever so many strong, life-changing convictions on this issue and that, but what really tells, what is really the mark of maturity in our Christian life, is how we relate to others and how we can bear their infirmities. We might be ever so strong in the faith, and we meet people like this sometimes because of their environment. They have learned to stand alone. They have no problem. They fully believe in God, and they've committed their whole life to the Lord. And they've made decisions. They've thrown out things they thought were distraction, and they have ordered their life in such a way that it pleases God, and they are God's people. And we praise the Lord for their examples. But as soon as they come in contact with another person, things unravel really quickly because we have convictions. We're strong. And Paul says the strong are supposed to bear the infirmities of the weak. And I can only conclude that if our strength is based on what we feel is conviction for me and makes me that strong, unyielding force, it's not really true faith. True strength is that which is able to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. See, it would please me very much if I could get everyone around me to live according to my convictions. And I say, this is all right and this is not. Yeah, that would be great. I wish you would agree with me. But when you don't agree with me, that's what tells whether I have true strength or not. That's what tells where my faith is at. Is it in my own abilities? Is it in my own faith in my relationship with the Lord? Or is my faith just simply in the Lord himself? And I'm able to give and to bear and to just carry on the work of Christ. He says, and he gives as an example, he says, Christ didn't please himself. The reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And Jesus bore those things. He dealt with all kinds of people, and he didn't let that distract him. Yes, there may be convictions on issues, and we should have those. But if those convictions do nothing but fragmentize our relationships with others, then they're probably being simply to our undoing. Those that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. It's not necessarily the issues, it's in relationships. Okay, it says that the strong, first of all, very plainly, they bear those infirmities. You know, as we speak of strength there too, Joseph spoke of decisions today and where they lead us tomorrow. If we take an attitude of intolerance about the things that we're thinking and the things that we think will please God, and that becomes our focus today, we should not be surprised if tomorrow or 20 years or whenever, we have very few friends. We have very few people that are actually helping us along to glory. But if we're willing to bear, we're willing to put up with, we're willing to, this supposedly strong person who does things, we may be a little cautious about that. I don't necessarily approve of what he's doing, but I do love the spirit behind his work and his actions, because it seems he loves the Lord. You know, that's what really shines through. I don't have to approve everything he does to appreciate him as a fellow Christian. The same is true with those who are troubled by many things. I don't necessarily agree with them in their being upset by the slightest little thing. They're always troubled by something, and I wish they could do better. But I'm willing to bear that. I'm willing to carry that, not just for a time. It's not going to do any good to have a worker who is able to pick up twice the load of anyone else, but he only carries it halfway. That's not of any value. And so what God is looking for us is for endurance. He wants us to bear that and to continue to bear, not just for a time, but to continue to do that. The strong are not self-pleasers, it says. We're not selfish. If we're strong, we're not so concerned about getting what we can get, or what others think of us. We're not so concerned about other people's approval, but we're more concerned about their good. As the Apostle Paul was a good example of that. He says, I seek not yours, but you. I just simply want you to be there at the throne of God on that day. And I'm not so concerned about all the things around and the fact that you are supporting me and the fact that you have a large church. He said, what I really want is for you to be there before God. And he showed his dedication by simply refusing that which he could have had. He did not ask for any support simply because he didn't want to be a burden on the gospel. He was able to bear the even the poverty that came with preaching the gospel. He was able to bear the disagreements of people, even though he rebuked them for that sometimes. He still bore with them. He did not say that they're not Christians. He says, I want you to get this straightened up. I want you to change this. And he rebuked them as brethren, not as non-Christians. Because his goal was to bring them back. His goal was to help them to serve the Lord. So the strong are not so concerned about the things as they are about the people themselves. They're not so careful with to get men's approval, but to save their souls. And it takes strength to care. It's something that it's, I think, one of the biggest challenges that I've ever faced in my life, is to have enough strength and courage to care for people and to take my mind off myself and to start thinking about what would be good for another person. It's probably the biggest challenge any of us will actually face, because it is the mark of Jesus Christ within us, and that's really what he wants in maturity, is for us to be more like the Lord. God is not looking for us to be more conservative necessarily, although it may include that, but it's simply to be more like the Lord. The strong people are willing to be restricted by another person's conscience. Now, that doesn't mean that if there's any person in your church that does not like a computer, for instance, okay, so I won't have a computer. But it does mean that as you address this issue as a church, and the church decides this, and even though you're not in total agreement with the decision, you accept it. This is the church decision. This is what the people of God said, that this is what we want for our congregation. I'm willing to be restricted by others' preference and conviction. I'm willing to bear that. And sometimes it's misunderstood that, your church has a standard on something and you say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, that's fine. You don't have to agree. But it's a mark of Jesus Christ in your life to willingly submit and not make a fuss about it. It's a... because you're the strong person, right? You can bear that. I can take that. It's not a problem to me. I'm strong. A strong person is not offended or upset by others' weakness. Who are these people that are always getting in the way of progress? I just wish they'd just get out. And they irritate me. Well, then I'm not strong. I'm not bearing it. I'm resisting. I'm not carrying that load. Rather, we need a genuine concern and carefulness so that we don't offend them. We're willing to bear. A strong person is one who is willing to bear. A strong person is also one that doesn't trust in his own strength, but he just simply trusts in God. Neither is he offended or upset by another person's strength. What appears to be strength in another person. Sometimes we're a little bit envious and we don't like it when another person seems stronger than we. We want to be the ones who are most stable. And of course, all of us would probably consider ourselves fairly balanced. If we weren't, we would change, right? So, but, we need that, we need each other and, we should not be jealous of each other because of any kind of position or calling or whatever. God has work for that person, and that is perfectly fine. You're there to support. God has a work for you. He wants you to do that too. We're not We're not upset by the strengths of other people or their weaknesses. We're willing to bear. Because sometimes maybe in what seems to be a strength might be a little hard to bear sometimes. It might be an irritation. The strong person does not have to categorize himself or others as either weak or strong. It's not for us to say that, well, I think Brother Joseph is, well, I call him strong. I look at David, is he strong or weak? And try to make these decisions. And I don't even know if I'm strong or weak, but I do know what God wants me to be. And so when we begin to look around us and we say, so-and-so, they're bothered by these things. Okay, they must be the weak Christians. No, actually, you know, when a person is strong, when you're on top of things, you don't necessarily have to judge other people or categorize them in any way. You're comfortable where you're at. You're willing to work and to bear. And you don't have to prove a point. A strong person does not develop an attitude of resistance. That is not a mark of strength. That's a mark of insecurity. We need to prove our strength. When actually a truly strong person does not have to prove their strength, there's no real point to prove. They don't need to prove anything along that line. They just simply are what they are before God, and they're willing to let it at that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The command to be strong, I think, is very interesting. Because strength, physical strength, is not necessarily something you do. There's things you can do to enhance it, but if you take any bench full of young men and you tell them, I want you to be strong, I want you to be able to press 200 pounds, it may be above some of you. And to others, it may be no problem at all. But the command is, be strong in the Lord. What does that tell us? It's apparently something that's not in our control. Or rather, I'm sorry, it's apparently something that is within our control. It's something we can choose and something we can lay hold on. To be strong physically, it may not be possible. I will never be able to lift as much as some other brethren here will. I just will never be able to do that. I am physically limited. But Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong. And there again, maybe that's the whole secret. He just says, in the Lord and in the power of his might. The story is told of a father who asked his son to move a rock out of the yard. There's a big rock there, and the son dug around this thing and kind of got it loose, but he just couldn't roll it. It was too big. And he tried and tried, and he says, well, I can't do it. And the father said, yes, you can. It's in your power to move that rock. So he got there again. He tried, and he just did everything he could, and he finally says, I just can't move it. And the father says, well, there is a way you can move it. And he's, oh, I don't know how. He says, I have no idea how. And the father says, you could ask me to help you. He said, I'm standing right here. I'm ready to help. Well, this was a new thought. Okay, so together they moved that rock. When God asks us to be strong, he's not demanding of you something that is beyond your power. He simply says, allow me to work in your life, and I will make you that strong person. I'll give you the strength that it takes to be faithful and to be able to do the work that I ask you to do. And Paul says, my son, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he says, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is not up to us in our intellectual abilities. It's not up to us because we have nerves of steel. It's not up to us because we're not capable because we do not allow emotions to get in our way, and so we're strong. That's not the issue at all. It's simply that we give it to God, and we go to Him. In fact, Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. That as long as we consider ourselves to be the strong, it's most likely we will be the weak who are hindering, and others are going to have to bear with us, and we hope that they are strong, but you know, we're kind of a drag on the system. But rather, if we can allow God to work in our lives and let Him move the big things, and just simply lets us help Him instead of going our own way and then just asking Him when we get something too big. Well, we want to be aware, Paul says, that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers that are there to overtake our faith. And the entire reason, the whole reason to be strong is so that our faith takes us through to the other side. It's sad to hear of a Christian who they do wonderful things, and they may be preachers or teachers or just influential in some circles, and they go and they live exemplary lives for so many years, and then we find out they've fallen. Far better it is to be that person who can carry the weight of those around you and be faithful all your life. That's what God wants. He wants to have enough faith, first of all, to get you through, and hopefully enough to allow you to help others to get through. That's really the bottom line of Christian life. There is nothing to be gained here if we're just looking for glory for ourselves. It's only that we make it and that those around us will make it. And there, any strength that does not give itself to pulling people and drawing people to the Lord is not true strength at all. It's a counterfeit. You might be able to do miracles, but you might come face to face with the Lord one day and remind Him of those miracles, and He says, I never knew you. What miracles were you doing? I don't remember those. But He does remember those that are His. He does definitely remember. And when Stephen was being martyred, he said, I see Jesus standing. Jesus knew all about him. And he considered him as his brother, and so he was there. He remembered him. True strength is that which keeps us close to God. It keeps our faith strong. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul gives a exhortation to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1 and verse 3. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He mentions grace, unmerited favor. Be strong in that grace. We need graceful Christians. We don't need crusty Christians. We need graceful ones, people that know the grace of the Lord in their own hearts and are able to be graceful to others. William McGrath said that if God's grace in us has not made us a graceful person, he questions whether salvation has even taken place. We're not Christ-like. If the Spirit of God is not making us more Christ-like, we can almost say it can't be there then, because that's what it does. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In Revelation, Jesus commended some of the churches there, because he said, you have borne, you've had patience, you have lifted, you've carried the weight. As a soldier, he says, endure hardness. What does the word endure mean? It just simply means, you know, sometimes I endure things. It may be things I don't like. We endure a lot of noise for the time being, but we can't wait till it quits. But we endure it. Well, the word endure basically simply means to simply outlive it, you're going to stay right in there, and it's not going to move you. And he says, endure hardness as a good soldier. And hardness, it was spoken about this morning already, about Joseph mentioned about these people of faith who they did miracles and they did so many things, but they also endured persecutions. They were willing to bear anything. They were the ones who were carrying the weight. They were willing to bear it. Endure hardness. He says, endure hardness, not talk about it. And sometimes we pride ourselves on the amount of trials that come because we say we're enduring. Well, if we're talking about our trials all the time, we wonder, you know, self-pity is simply pride. It's Satan's work. And God can't work in us. If we think that we're always being persecuted and we have that focus on ourselves, we're not really very strong. We need to rise above that and to just take those things in stride as a soldier who expects hardships. Soldiers do not necessarily speak to each other about the toughness of the battlefield. They encourage each other to stand firm. And we can say, well, you know, people don't understand me, but, you know, I guess it's all right. But even the fact that we're talking about it may be just simply a matter of simply not accepting it. When we've truly accepted something, just let it go. It's fine. We're willing to bear that. And I think it's going to be one of the hardest things we ever do, is just to simply stay close to the Lord. But Paul says, be a good soldier. I came across this reading it's called I Am a Soldier. And I don't think the author is known. The place I got it from does not, it says author unknown, so I guess he didn't know. I'll just read this. It's a challenge for us to be that strong person, to be able to endure. I am a soldier in God's army. I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If he needs me in the Sunday school to teach the children, work with the youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, he can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into his army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all my needs. I am more than conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Demons cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. I am a soldier. Governments cannot silence me, and hell cannot handle me. Even death cannot destroy me, for my commander calls me. Even death cannot destroy me, for when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will show death who's in charge. I am a soldier, and I am marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier, marching, heaven bound. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? The challenge of enduring is, I believe, never so great as when it comes to enduring with each other and with our fellow soldiers and bearing that load. Are we the strong? If so, let's bear the infirmities of those around us. Let's kneel for prayer.